This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Shahid Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. Nothing is certain other than death and taxes, or so the adage goes. But this doesn't apply to the digital tax, though. The international community is currently struggling to come up with common rules on how to tax tech companies that provide digital services. And the argument is currently being played out between France and the US.
French government says it will impose national tax on tech giants next year, just like us, which it says it will remain in place until international rules are set up. However, the US has taken issue with this and is currently investigating France for unfair trade practices.
So joining us on the line to help us understand what's at play is Tan Hui Beng, Deputy Managing Director at Deloitte Malaysia. Thanks for joining us, Hui Beng. So help us understand the current tax regime for tech companies at the moment.
Yeah, sure. So the reality is that the international tax rules, it applies across the board. It applies to various type of companies, not necessarily for tech companies as well. So the point here is there's no special rules for tech companies at the moment. Yeah. Now, under the present tax rules, for a company's profit to be taxed in another country, generally the tech company must have some physical presence in the other country, what we term it as permanent establishment. And if you don't have a permanent establishment in the other country, generally corporate tax could not kick in. Yeah. So that is the current rule. And therefore, against this background, you just imagine digital companies wouldn't need to have much presence in another company to operate. As a result of this, many countries, in a way, have lost their taxation base. Now, OECD is really... they are aware of this, the OECD, and therefore they wanted to come up with some plan to address digital taxation. But they thought that they'll take a few years up to 2020 before they come up with something more concrete. But many countries couldn't wait. They have come up with their own unilateral measures to impose taxation on digital. For example, EU countries have proposed to do what we call DST, Digital Service Tax. India have proposed or have indeed implemented equalization levy. They call it Google tax as well. So given that they have done a unilateral measure to combat this issue for the time being, whilst waiting for OECD to come up with a more concrete rules. Yeah.
We are seeing the debate on digital tax being played out between the French and US. Hui Beng, what's the crux of the argument between them?
Okay, before that, maybe I'll just take one step back. Under the current tax rules, tax treaties, for example, between US and France, if a US companies, tech companies deriving profits from France without any significant economic presence, technically the French government could not impose any tax. So this become kind of a big issue. The French tax is going to be retroactive, actually, from 1st January 2019. It's not going to be, from next year onwards, but indeed it's retroactive to 1st January 2019. It's a 3% tax on revenue, gross revenue. And this is something significant. And the French government, they told the world that it's not meant to, for US tech companies, but it's for everyone. But the reality is that we know that the giant in this tech industry comes from US. So definitely, clearly, the US government reacted negatively in that, and they wanted to launch an investigation on this. So this has become a big issue. Yeah.
And how does the digital tax imposed by the French government differ from the proposed tax in Malaysia?
So Malaysia, from 1st January 2020, which is next year, it will introduce a special service tax, which actually bring all the foreign supplies of digital services into the scope of the rules. Now, it's at 6%. Yeah, 6%. It is not a direct taxation. It's an indirect tax. And the intention of that is more to level the playing field, for the local service provider. But at the end of the day, the results will be the same. Malaysia is able to collect the taxes accordingly, whether it's indirect or direct, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, there will be some revenue collection for Malaysia. And obviously, Malaysia doesn't want to lose the revenue base, right, in light of this digitalization,
Thank you very much, Hui Bing. And that was Tan Hui Bing, Deputy Managing Director at Deloitte Malaysia, giving us his thoughts on France's digital tax. And as he mentioned, it is actually retroactive to January 1st of this year, and it's going to be a 3% levy on companies with at least 750 million euros in global revenue, or digital sales of about 25 million in France.
That's right. So, I mean, if we look at this 3% tax that France is going to get, this is actually a corporate tax. So that means it's going to be taxing the tech company. And in Malaysia at the moment, as we understand, it's more of a consumer tax at this stage, starting 2020. So in that sense, we are the ones who's going to be paying the tax for using the services, not the corporate tax, not the corporates based on the profits that they make. And you might hate me for saying this, but at the same time, the reason why this is key, especially if we look at digital tax per se, is that there's a need to sort of invest on the infrastructure, especially in tech companies. I mean, if all this money, all the profit that's made are all directed to the corporate tax where they are located, I don't see how we could benefit in the sense of how this country could be sort of reinvested when it comes to now 5G is going to come soon and so many things.
No, the question about the digital tax, the 6% digital tax, right, is to create a level playing field. Okay, that's the government's intention. Because if we use everyone's favorite example, Netflix and iFlix. Okay, so Netflix is the US company, iFlix is the local company. You actually pay a 6% on the iFlix services already, but you don't pay your 6% on Netflix. Now, aren't they both providing the same service? They are, right, essentially.
It's just that the playing fields right now are not level because iFlix has to pay more in order to provide you with the same service.
So what does the government want to do is to achieve a level playing field. Do I think it's a fair tax? Yes, I do, because iFlix already pays 6%. I mean, if you're a consumer of iFlix, you pay 6%. Why shouldn't you as a consumer of Netflix also pay 6%? So that's the whole intention.
But who should pay for it, though? Is it the consumer or should it be corporate?
This is a service tax. This is a consumer. This differs from the tax that France wants to impose. Mm-hmm. France's argument is that you have all these internet companies, right, which basically derive huge revenues in their home base. Okay, so for example, Amazon. If you're a business and you use your Amazon services in France, this Amazon doesn't pay any tax on whatever income or profits they derive from French individuals or French companies who use their services. So in a way, it's just exactly like corporate tax, but it's not captured because Amazon, for example, may not have a physical office in Paris or anywhere in France. So they're not able to have a tax number and collect a revenue. It's also similar to this whole level playing field question, right?
And it's not just iFlix as well. It's also other broadcasters, for example, Astro as well. They are being taxed locally. And again, for them to be able to at least have a chance of appealing to existing customers is to have sort of an equivalent level of a taxation system.
Indeed. But the other interesting thing about France's digital tax that they are proposing is that it is actually a tax on the revenue of the companies rather than the profits, right? Which I understand is somewhat easier because it can be difficult to determine where earnings are coming from, when you're talking about earnings of tech companies. And it may also be a way to get larger tech companies to pay up and pay up more. Because if you take Amazon, for example, Amazon rakes in hundreds of millions and billions in revenues.
232 billion in revenue, to be exact. And they only pay 1 billion in tax. So go figure. Somehow there seems to be a gap, right, between how much money they collect versus how much tax they pay.
And how much of those is actually earnings. So this could also be a move to try and get the larger number out of them, between earnings and revenue.
It's definitely going to be super complicated, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about the digital landscape and, how is revenue captured in different jurisdictions?
Yep. That's going to be an interesting field to watch develop, because this, unfortunately, is one of those areas where there is not much in the way of a precedent for countries and companies to take into account. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.